There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Save big money on your next upgrade now at Menards. Some things never go out of style, like tile from Mohawk. You can count on the durability, easy maintenance, and timeless beauty of tile. With over 350 ceramic, porcelain, mosaic, and glass tiles to choose from, Mohawk Tile provides long-lasting charm in any space. Visit the store and Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on in our weekly flyer.
Save big money at Menards.
For Hey Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Hey, I'm checking my mic.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks, as always, for making your way here, for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the episodes that we put out every single week. You get a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover the new ones. Of course, you can grab us at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Don't forget to give the show a rating, leave a review as well if you feel so inspired. We've had some fantastic guests on lately that have included actress Samantha Morton. You can see her as the lead in The Serpent Queen on Starz. She's also got a brand new record, Daffodils and Dirt. Talk to the cast of Women in Blue that's out now on Apple TV+. Adam Duritz of The Counting Crows, Reggie Watts, the comedian, has a new stand-up special called Nevermind. Derek Whibley from Sum 41 was here. Juliana Hadfield, Tammy Stronach, the childlike empress from Neverending Story, back after 40 years in Man and Witch, Dance of a Thousand Steps, Victoria Justice, Minnie Driver, who's also in The Serpent Queen, Ride, a Rewind episode with the late Chris Cornell. Just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, Randy Blythe of Lamb of God. They are celebrating the 20th anniversary of their album Ashes of the Wake by, there's a 20th anniversary release, but they're also going on tour with Mastodon, who are celebrating their own 2004 record, Leviathan, that was released on the same day in 2004 as Ashes of the Wake. So, Randy and I are going to discuss metal's still young age compared to other genres. He'll remember life before their breakthrough album and the inexperience that he could hear inside the demos on the deluxe edition. We also hear about having tracks remixed by Health and Godflesh's Justin Broderick and the new version of Another Nail in the Coffin that features Kublai Khan, TX, and Malevolence. Randy's also going to go on to talk about his love of B-sides, his hatred of the audience using phones during their concerts, and why he says the band never had a gang mentality, as well as his photography, reforestation project, and upcoming book due out next year. All that and more as we talk about the 20th anniversary of Ashes of the Wake. It's Kyle Meredith with Randy Blythe of Lamb of God.
How are you doing?
You got a busy little year lined up for you, so I appreciate you taking the time to drop in today.
Yeah, man.
I was looking through your socials, and it's always so fascinating because seeing where you go and how you interact with that and what you post about. And it's been a while, and it was, I think, some point last year you were posting in Pikeville with the Hatfield and McCoy area.
Yeah, man. I had a great walk around there. I'm a big, big history nerd. Wherever I go on tour, I try and figure out what happened where I am, you know, not just in the immediate past, but normally in the far past. So I can kind of, I think it helps you understand historical events, how they shape the character of a geographic location. So it's very, very interesting to me, you know?
Yeah, it's, I'm suffer from that thing about how, like, I like to do the same thing, of course, when I travel, you know, kind of see, and I'll pull up, you know, the apps that show me the weird out of the way spots and the historical spots.
Yeah.
And I fail to do that in my own area, though. I mean, you hear about the people who live in New York, who grew up in New York, who've never been to the Statue of Liberty.
Oh, yeah.
I've never been to that area with the Hatfield and McCoys. But of course, I've heard about it all my life. And I saw that, and that was my thought, like, I need to get down there.
Yeah, sure. Well, in Richmond, you know, where we are, it's like you can't throw a rock down a street without hitting something that, you know, some sort of historical thing happened. There's, you know, neighborhoods where the houses are all of them have plaques and stuff. The owners aren't allowed to significantly change the outside structure because, you know, George Washington farted there 200 years ago or whatever.
Oh, man, I do appreciate that. Well, I know you got a lot going on. As I said, you mentioned to me, you're about to leave for the tour. This is the Ashes of the Wake 20th anniversary tour. You're going out with Mastodon. I feel like these anniversary tours, I mean, they've been going for a little over a decade now, but I feel like these have really become the saving graces for bands because I don't remember them happening in the same way, say, in the 90s or even in the early 2000s.
Well, you have to understand that our genre, heavy metal, is young. It's young when you think about it. So the Rolling Stones, you know, have been out doing tours, and this is our 20th anniversary tour or whatever. But the first metal band, Black Sabbath, all those guys are still alive. You know, I know some of those dudes. So we're, when you talk about the history of the music and so forth, and the creators of the more extreme types of metal, you know, of course, the Big Four, Anthrax, Megadeth, Slayer, and Metallica, they're all still operational, you know, in one form or the other. So it's just taken a while for us, for the genre itself, to get old enough to have anniversary tours, I think, you know.
But I feel like it's also probably good for business. Like something about the anniversary tour.
Sure.
Marquee. Like, that's a draw, right? Like in these off years between albums, like you can make money.
Yeah, well, sure. I mean, I love playing music. It's what I do, but it is my job, you know. That may smash some illusions for some people, but you know, we do pay our rent by doing this. This tour in particular, though, it's really cool for, like, it's not just like an arbitrary, oh, this is a 20th anniversary tour for a record for us. It's really cool because Mastodon, long time friends of ours. I mean, we've known two of the guys in the band since before Mastodon existed. But they released a fairly significant milestone record on the exact same day as we did, a pretty significant milestone record in our career, you know. And the albums are approximately, I think, 57 seconds in length difference, you know. And so they're just old friends, and it just felt, we've been talking about this for a while. I mean, literally probably 10 years. Every now and then Braun or someone would be like, we should do an anniversary tour since the records came out on the same day. So, you know, 20 is a nice round number.
And it's probably for that reason and a lot of reasons. I mean, you're both your bands have always sort of like if you're talking about the genre and someone mentions one of your bands, it's almost like they're immediately going to mention the other band right afterwards.
Sure. There's some of the bands that came up around the same time as us. We often get mentioned in the same breath, you know.
I like what you said a minute ago about, you know, Smashing Illusions as you were joking about that, because I find a lot of times that does happen with albums that we love. I've said it before. It's like when you're a fan and you fall in love with an album, that album wasn't created. That album just exists, right?
Right.
It was born in an explosion, the Big Bang, and there it is.
Right. Yeah. We hatched out of rock star eggs too. You know what I mean?
Right.
I just woke up one day and I was on tour with Metallica in Australia. It's great. I'm so lucky.
Drew the nice card there. Rolled the dice right. That's right.
Yeah.
But if you talk to the artist, like then you hear about like, man, that was so hard to make. I can't even listen to that song because of this. And that took 37 takes. And it's like, it's so different.
Well, see, like for instance, you know, like I said, I knew those guys, two of the guys, Braun and Bill, since before Mastodon existed. When I first met them, we were called Burn the Priest, and we were in a van that broke down on the way to the studio. We got to the studio. Braun was playing in a band called Today is the Day, where we recorded that record. He was living on the couch in the studio. That was his home. We did not have money for a hotel room, so we slept on the floor, you know, that's of the studio. That's, and we're recycling beer cans because they give deposits back in Massachusetts where we were to get ramen and more beer. So like it's not like poof, all of a sudden Ashes of the Wake came out and we were making a living, you know. This was like I think we did the Burn the Priest record in 97, you know, 98 recorded that. Ashes didn't come out till 2004, and they started the band in 1994. So it's a process. Everything is a process.
And we'll be right back right after this.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always on the verge of death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to say, ahoy, or land ho, and not feel weird about it. So here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance offers access to the largest towing fleet on the water. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to say, shiver me timbers, and not feel weird about that either. Get more with GEICO.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Randy Blythe of Lamb of God.
To further my point, and I think you've kind of answered it a little bit here too, because fans obviously hear this in one way. With this new 20th anniversary edition, you know, you do have demos and remixes on here. What do you hear in those demos that, you know, didn't exist, of course, in the final? Like, does anything, like when you hear those demos, do you still see it all?
I haven't listened to the demos.
A true musician right there.
I've listened to the remixes. I'm sure I listened to the demos back in the day, but I have not listened to one demo. I'm sure if I listened to it, I would hear an experience and a guy learning how to record, because that album was the first album that I ever actually got produced. You know, before it was just like press the record button, go, Randy, we're running out of time. But in this one, the producer machine actually, you know, I got time to work with him. It was a first after 10 years of being in the band. So I haven't listened to the demos. I'm sure I would hear a guy learning how to do what he does, fumbling through it, which I'm still doing to this day. The remixes are super cool though, you know, and it's kind of a little feather in my cap, I think, to have a Justin Broderick remix, because huge Godflesh fan since, you know, back in the day, since the late 80s, early 90s. So it's really awesome to have him touch our music.
Yeah. And what, Health, is that the other one? The other
Health, remix? Yeah, our friends in Health. Willie and I, our guitar player, have both worked with Health before. So And they work with tons of people. So we're like, take it, get weird, you know?
Let's, you know what, that was the question, of course, the obvious question too, is like, when you have a process like this, when you know it's going to be stamped on the anniversary edition, like, are there guidelines? Do you have to go back and forth? Do you just put your trust out there and they give it back and you're like, cool? Like, what, how does that work?
Well, I mean, I'm aware of what health sounds like. I'm a fan. And I'm aware of what Godflesh sounds like. I'm a fan. So when ideas came up for let's do some remixes, the only thing, I guess, parameters that we kind of gave is like, we're thinking about remixing a couple of these songs, and we gave them some choices and they chose. And then it's like, okay, have at it, dude. You know, if I want to control the remix, I just remix it myself. You know, so I don't want the Randy remix. I want the Godflesh remix. I want the Health remix, because, you know, my remix would suck, frankly.
They're cool moments. I like listening to them. I like listening to the new version of Another Nail in Your Coffin. Like, that's,
yeah, that's, yeah, a lot of fun, having the guys from Malevolence and Kubla Khan come in and do that. And like, that's also kind of a, for me, giving it to, and they're both established bands. I'm not saying these are brand new kids, you know, like, hey, here it's, but they're younger, you know, much younger than us. So it's really kind of cool to hand our music off. And both of those bands certainly came up listening to our band. So it's neat to hand a track off and have them put it through their filter, you know. When both of them, when Matt and Alex from Malevolence hit me up, they're like, hey, do you care if I play with the flow? And I'm like, yes, that's what I want you to do. I don't, if you're going to try and just sound exactly like me, this is useless. So put your fingers on it, you know?
And it's great that it's that track. Like, it's not the big single or something, like you all took the chance to take, because I say this a lot. I don't know. I don't mean this specifically. I guess it's more metaphorically, but, you know, my favorite albums are the sophomore albums. You know, my favorite songs are the B-sides.
Right. Yeah. You
know, it's those weird little bastards of the songs. Why do I have a love affair with them? And when I see something like this, I'm like, oh, that's perfect.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. I was talking with my girl the other day about the Beastie Boys, and like, not the old school hardcore stuff, but like the first two Beastie Boys records, Licensed to Ill and then Paul's Boutique. Like, Licensed to Ill really gets on my effing nerves. Like, girls, ding, 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 ding. It makes me crazy. And there's some good songs on it, but Paul's Boutique, you know, which was a flop, not a flop, but it wasn't like as successful as Licensed to Ill when it came out. That's a masterpiece. You know, they went deeper.
And we see that now, like, people came around.
Oh yes, 100%. It's critically acclaimed now, and it reshaped the face of hip hop. But yeah, dude, I'm totally with you on the B-sides and other stuff.
As someone who creates these songs, and again, has a much different relationship than us, the listeners, do you find that you have a different relationship with those songs of yours, like the B-sides or the forgotten tracks or whatever, soundtrack cuts?
Yeah, I mean, like, sometimes it's like, I think as we get older as a band, Lamb of God, we're doing pretty good at figuring out the fat that needs to be trimmed, you know, whereas and kind of dialing the length of records in, thank God, like 10 11 songs max is how long it should be, even though a lot of records, and we were guilty of this, are 15 16 songs, because people didn't, myself included, didn't want to shelve their ego and do what was best for the project. No, this is my song, my precious, or whatever. But as we've grown and matured as a band, we've learned how to sort of shelve that. So that some of the songs that are B-sides and so forth that weren't included on a record, or different versions of them that I'm like, that was much better. Every now and then I'll listen to the old thing, or someone will bring it up and I'll be like, I was right. I was right. I was right. You know what I mean? But what am I going to do? Sit there and cry over spilled milk. You know, it's, we made, I don't even know how many songs now. Not everyone is going to make the cut, and we're a democracy. You know, there's no like one dude in our band, never has been, that's like, this is what our records are going to be.
Yeah, what was it? I was earlier this year, I had Stone from Pearl Jam on here, and we were talking something similar about B-sides. He goes, you know, as we got older and we became better musicians, we wrote less of less of those were created because
yes.
our songs were finished. And B-sides are usually the songs that aren't quite finished or something.
Yeah.
It's like great and sad at the same time for me.
Right. Yeah. They're, you know, they're half formed, you know, there are things that did not get put through the laboratory long enough, but you know, if you're working on a recording deadline, we certainly don't have multi-million-dollar recording budgets or anything, and we're not trying to blow every penny recording. So it's we write before we go. We try and do a pretty extensive pre-production process now, and kind of, you know, winnow through it, separate the wheat from the chaff, as it were. It can be frustrating, but we're still learning, you know, and we're a good place as a band, and I think everybody. Certainly has learned to kind of want to serve the project first and foremost, rather than our own individual creative expressions. We have a saying in Lamb of God, better is better. So like,
it's a good saying.
If I love something, but someone comes up with something better, it's got to suck it up. You know what I mean?
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Randy Blythe of Lamb of God.
To have been in the band for as long as you all have, a lot of times there's that gang mentality at the beginning, and that changes if people have their personal lives. And if you can still be in a band 25 years later or whatever it's been, like I like that probably changes. Do you find...
I don't think we've ever had the gang mentality.
No, you never?
Yeah. No. We maybe like... five separate gangs at war with each other.
Is it the Warriors?
Exactly, precisely. We're all cruising around the subways of the musicals landscape looking to kill each other. We're five very different dudes, you know, so it's been a process of, like, as I said, of us just learning, like, okay, let's step outside of ourselves and try and serve the project.
So how do you stay together? I mean, what keeps you all going?
Too old to do anything else.
That's an easy answer.
I used to say it was just spite. And I think there was an element of that because nobody wanted to be the guy to quit, because then everybody would immediately blame everything on that person, you know?
Yeah.
No, I think we're still together because we like making music together.
Well, you do it well.
We try.
Yeah, you know, the live shows, when I was even just going back, you know, prepping for this interview and watching, I don't know if you all posted or somebody posted, I think somebody else posted, it was a pro shot anyway, show from one of the last tours. And it's just the power, like, especially to be the front man, do you find that you're accessing the energy from the same place inside of you that you would have done 20, 25 years ago?
That's a good question. I think it's always just kind of been the same. I mean, like, performing live, like, it's no secret. I've said this a million times. I hate recording. I despise the studio. I view it as a necessary evil, you know? And even though I'm getting older and things hurt and I'm not frothing at the mouth to go on tour like I was when I was, you know, 20-something, I still get the same... I don't know, energy from a crowd that's really into it, because I view it as a massive form of communication on a massive level. So when I sing some words that I wrote in a, you know, 99-cent spiral notebook that I got from CVS, you know, sitting on my back porch, and I wrote these words trying to express myself, and I hear thousands of people echo those words back at me and sing with me, and I see the music physically moving people, it's a symbiotic thing, you know. And at the best shows, when the crowd are most engaged, it feels as if the barrier between us drops, between audience and performers, and that's why when I talk to people, if I meet them after a show, I was like, how was your show? Because it's our show, you know, it's us in the audience. If the audience isn't there, we call that band practice, which I don't enjoy doing, you know. So it's a show. It's no show without the audience. And I don't know, it just feels like a big big form of communication. I quite enjoy that, which is also why put your freaking phones down and be present, you know? I haven't done this yet, but I'm going to, as the phones come more and more and more, I'm going to walk out one day at a particularly phone-driven show, and I'm going to bring a stool, and I'm going to set it down in the middle of the stage after a song or two, and then I'm going to turn on my phone, and I'm going to point it at the audience, and I'm going to sit there, and I'm going to sing a whole song. I'm not going to move. I'm going to do what they do. And then at the end, I'm going to say, did you people enjoy that? No, I didn't either. So why don't we be here together? Put your freaking phone down. You know, you do not, the memories you're going to have because you're experiencing this show through this digital filter or whatever of a crappy cell phone video. You're not Steven Spielberg. Sit here and enjoy the show with me. Right? Be here with me, because that's how it was when I started going to shows, you know, except for the, thank God for those people back in the 80s who were photographer nerds who, like, you know, the weird people, there's always one or two with a camera who would take pictures, and thank God for them, because they documented the thing. But like, everybody else was present, and people are missing it nowadays by viewing a show through a tiny iPhone screen. Like, be here with me.
And the audience definitely doesn't, it never occurs to them what it must look like for you or feel like for you on it looks, the stage.
I mean, I'm not asking for sympathy, like, poor Randy, he feels bad.
No, but there's, you know, that, in that relationship it's that something, you're talking about.
Yeah, the relationship is missing, and I want a relationship with the audience, because the harder you go, the harder I'm going to go. The more you look at the phone, the more I want to sit on a stool and film you. And it's going to happen one day.
And you have the artists like Maynard, like Dylan, Jack White comes to mind, where they shut it down beforehand.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, do you consider taking that step, going that far?
I've thought about it. I don't, my band probably wouldn't be down with it. I'd be totally great if there were, like, no cell phones, you know, because these things are they are warping the shape of our reality in a horrific way across the board. So, you know, I'm not a Luddite. I am not anti-technology. Clearly, we are using it right now. But I think it would behoove us to step back and examine our relationship with technology and see what is being taken from us, the human aspect. It's certainly, and I'm just going to discuss music here, it's certainly removed that human aspect in a lot of ways from shows at times.
I will say, I saw Prince's final tour before he passed.
Lucky. That,
yeah, well, I was very, my house was flooding at the moment. We knew it was flooding, and we're like, but we have Prince tickets.
Screw the house, we're gonna go see the purple dude.
It was gonna flood regardless. I couldn't stop the river from coming in. But I felt like that was the best compromise, because you got in there and they said no phones, you cannot shoot the show, but we'll give you an opportunity at the end. And sure enough, everybody in that room for the entirety of the show, and he was doing small venues for the fun of it, you know, multiple nights in small venues, so it was even better. Everybody in that room for 2 hours was completely plugged in, knowing that we'd get our moment. And sure enough, at the end, he said, let's go crazy, pull out your phones.
Yeah, that's great. And I think Maynard has done, I think Tool did that. They allow people to do that at the end. And I think that's a good thing. And I'm certainly not like, oh, nobody can take a picture. I'm not like that guy or whatever, but it's really disturbing to me how much people are missing. You know, you are in fact missing the show. You're not here. You're looking at your phone, bruh. You know, when I went to shows, I was looking around, and I wasn't looking at the band. I was looking around at the cute chicks who were there. You know what? You're not going to get that on your cell phone. There is no swipe left or whatever in the middle of the show. Get off your phone. Be here with us. Meet people. Talk. Have a human experience.
Yeah. The lack of friendships we seem to have anymore, because we miss those moments.
Yeah. And this so-called, you know, connective technology, people seem more isolated than ever before.
Isn't that funny how that works?
It's odd.
Okay, computer. It's the right. They had it. They knew it. They knew it. And here it is.
Yeah.
Can I ask about where your head's at for whatever comes in, like another record? I know it's been a few years.
I mean, I'm sure there will be one. I'm going to try and survive this tour. That's all that's on my mind. We're starting once again in Texas in July.
That's what you do.
The last three ones with Pyro. So it's like, what are we doing? At least the first gig is indoors, but then we go to outside to Austin in a racetrack, and it's gnarly, man. So my head is just getting through the summer right now.
And then maybe some music and all the other things. Like, I like seeing the stuff. I was watching your video on the restoration project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I don't know if you can, you know, say something about that, but what bringing any kind of attention to things like that.
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm a surfer, and I have a private reforestation project with some Ecuadorian friends of mine in Ecuador. I've been raising some money for that via Cameo. I haven't been to Ecuador in a while, regrettably, because there has been drug cartel activity, you know, there that has kind of disrupted that whole country. So don't do cocaine, kids. You're screwing up my zone in South America directly. This is your fault. I can't preach. I'm a sober guy now, but I did plenty of substances over the years. But no, just trying to. I bought some former cattle land there that a friend of mine pointed out, and we've replanted a bunch of indigenous trees and trying to let it go back and heal. You know,
and every it's like they say, every little bit helps, and every little acre helps.
Yeah, I can't. I'm not a giant NGO. I do not have bazillions of dollars, but you know, it's something I can do. It's something I can use my platform to do, and it feels good.
And I'll compliment you on the photography too.
Thank you.
You recently had a show, and you posted every single one of those photos, and I looked at every single one of those photos, and I read every single. But I mean, I was into it, is what I'm trying to say. Like, it was
cool.
Great stuff. So
thank you. Thank you very much. Try and do that. And I have a new book coming out next year. So it's with the copy editor right now. And that'll be coming out early next year, supposedly.
What's the book?
It's called Just Beyond the Light. Uh-huh. It's been 10 years since my last book. So it's time for another one. So
why are you doing this one? Well, it's time for another one.
It's time for another one. Yeah.
Why are you doing this tour? Well, it's time for an anniversary. That's I like
that's
the way
right.
You work. I like the way
man.
Work.
Yeah.
20th anniversary tour, Lamb of God and Mastodon. That's going to be an exciting one. Randy, thanks so much for taking the time to talk about it. Now I guess you need to get actually out there on tour.
I do. We got to finish packing.
All right on, man. Thanks so much for taking the time to talk.
Thank you.
My thanks to Randy. The 20th anniversary of Ashes of the Wake you can find. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button before you get out of here so you can keep up with all the interviews that we put out every single week. Again, you get a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith with. Please do give the show a rating, leave a review as well. And after that, you can head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. You get 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music. There are bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. One of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from Killing Joke, Girl Scout, The Psychedelic Furs, Noel Gallagher, Willie Nelson, Wonder Horse, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Ramones, Camper Van Beethoven, Weezer, Sam Morton, Coldplay, Foo Fighters, St. Vincent, and my interview with Andrew McCarthy as we talked about his Brat Pack documentary, Bratz, out now on Hulu and Disney. Just an example of what you can hear every weeknight when you tune in at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Yeah, 20 minutes is good.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.